today, Iraqi forces and militias backed by Iran continued their push to take back the city of Tikrit from the self-proclaimed Islamic State. It is the largest operation against ISIS since those fighters swept into Iraq and Syria last year, which was the first time many people had ever heard of ISIS. Since then, the group has been destroying ancient artifacts, looting, beheading hostages, and seizing territory. But where did ISIS come from, and why is it still growing? Austin Long is assistant professor of international affairs at Columbia University. He joins us from Washington. Austin, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
Well, when did you first hear about ISIS? Because it really did come into the news last year for most of us.
Well, the organization that's now calling itself the Islamic State or the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Shams or whatever you want to call it did really make the news last year, particularly after the assault on Mosul. But really, its roots go back more than a decade to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and the immediate aftermath of the invasion of Iraq.
And how closely tied was it in its past to al-Qaeda?
Well, its ties to al-Qaeda have been somewhat mixed. So initially, Zarqawi had his own organization, the Group for Monotheism and Holy War. But in 2004, he pledged allegiance to Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And he did that, I would say, in large part to gain more notoriety. It certainly helped him with the recruitment of some number of foreign fighters, some number of contributions from those who wanted to support al-Qaeda. So it was certainly an alliance of convenience at a minimum. But later, he and al-Qaeda had a sort of falling out over tactics.
And they split.
They largely did split. The group that I knew as al-Qaeda in Iraq began calling itself the Islamic State of Iraq a few years later. And this split was largely over Zarqawi's very ruthless targeting of Shiites, which certainly Zawahiri in al-Qaeda core or al-Qaeda central believed was at best a wasted effort and at worst was apostasy.
But we don't hear, and we never did hear, about al-Qaeda drawing the interest of thousands of Westerners to go and fight alongside it in Iraq or Syria or anywhere else. We do hear about that with ISIS. Why have they been so much more successful in recruiting people from the West?
I think the change to recruiting Westerners is interesting, and it's probably symptomatic of things going on in the West as much as the Islamic State's success. I mean, al-Qaeda in Iraq and then later the Islamic State of Iraq always drew in some number of foreign fighters. Many of them were not from Western countries. Many of them now are not from Western countries. But the big changes, I think, are at least in part about changes in the West, both having to do with technology and social media and things like that. But also about, you know, certainly in Europe, I think growing disaffection among certain Muslim minorities.
But teenage girls leaving places like London or Colorado, what do you make of that when you hear that? Why would teenage girls in these places decide that they want to get up and travel to Syria to join ISIS?
Well, I think there's a certain amount of search for meaning in any teenager's life. And while it may seem odd, I don't think it's entirely unprecedented. I do give the Islamic State some credit in terms of their use of social media and branding. They've become very competent at that, even if the images are sometimes very bloody or bizarre to some eyes.
Do you get the sense that each and every individual member of ISIS is somebody who fully believes in destroying antiquities and beheading people and rape and enslavement and all the things that they do? Or are these people that if you were to pull one of them out and have a conversation with them, they would say, well, I don't really agree with this tactic. I just want this caliphate.
I think there are sort of levels or layers of belief within the organization. I think, you know, there is an inner core that absolutely believes with 100% conviction in many of these very extreme views. Then outside of that core, I think there's another layer that believes in the organization but may believe in the organization for reasons that are maybe a bit more prosaic. So in my experience interviewing some members of al-Qaeda in Iraq, you know, many of them joined for the same sort of reasons that people join gangs, right? It was a way to gain respect. It was a way to gain a place in society, even if it was an outsider role in society. It was a way to make money. So I think there are those who join for those more sort of pedestrian opportunities. And then finally, I think there's an outer core, particularly of locals in Iraq and Syria, that that align themselves with the organization simply because they see which way the wind is blowing.
It's the safest thing for them to do.
It's the safest. It's you know, maybe going to be the most successful.
How much of a role has Bashar al-Assad in Syria played in the rise of what ended up becoming ISIS?
I think Assad's role with what would eventually become the Islamic State goes back some time. So al-Qaeda in Iraq had always found a certain amount of safe haven in Syria along the Syria-Iraq border. A lot of the foreign fighters that transited into Iraq, particularly in the 2005 to 2008 timeframe, would pass through Syria. So those ties were always there, and Assad had turned not a completely blind eye, but as long as they were fighting in Iraq and causing the Americans problems, he was okay with it. But that laid the groundwork and the connections between al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria that once Assad's government came under assault from other rebel groups, it created space that the Islamic State could exploit. Then later, I think you saw tacit alliance would probably be too strong of a word, but certainly preferential targeting of others besides the Islamic State, in some cases by Assad, fear, you know, essentially feeling that the Islamic State could batter away at these other groups and help Assad eliminate them, and then he could deal with the Islamic State later. And, you know, it also gives him a certain amount of top cover when he claims he's fighting terrorists when groups like the Islamic State are still around and are, right, you know, are increasingly becoming his main enemy. So I think Assad has played not a direct role, but in many ways a very important but indirect role in the rise of the Islamic State.
Well, you bring up another point, which is that would it have been possible for ISIS to rise without the U.S. going to war in Iraq? If Saddam Hussein were still in power, would there be any way for the Islamic State to have come to power?
I think it would be extraordinarily unlikely. There were Islamic extremist groups in Iraq, even in Saddam's time, but they were, you know, he fought them tooth and nail by and large. I mean, he had a period where he sort of wanted to wrap himself in the Islamic flag after the first Gulf War to bolster his popularity, but it's almost inconceivable to think that the Islamic State would exist absent the U.S. invasion.
It sounds like the U.S. And other Western countries just totally underestimated this when it really came to be last year.
I think that's fair to say. I think there were those both inside and outside of the U.S. government and other Western governments who were very worried about the al-Qaeda in Iraq resurgence. But I think, again, both inside and outside of the government, many felt that, you know, al-Qaeda was sort of a destroyed organization. Al-Qaeda in Iraq was a broken organization. It had a few sort of what Don Rumsfeld would have called dead enders hanging on, but it was never going to be able to make a comeback. Whereas others, myself included, felt that without real reconciliation between the Shiite government in Iraq and the Sunnis of Iraq, and then later real reconciliation or some sort of peace agreement in Syria, there was plenty of fuel for a fire that could be reignited by al-Qaeda in Iraq or now the Islamic State.
What can bring ISIS down, in your view, at this point?
Well, I think ISIS is an incredibly powerful organization. That's always been its great strength, is it's not some sort of loose network. It's a well-developed and, it's a war machine, essentially. It's good at generating the resources needed to fight, and it's good at fighting. It may not be so good at governing. So now that it controls territory, it may run into problems with that. It also has a tendency to bite off a little more than it can chew. So the initial tide turned against al-Qaeda in Iraq when it began trying to consolidate total hegemony over the Sunni minority in Iraq, and it provoked a backlash from Sunnis who didn't want to cede their local autonomy and local authority to al-Qaeda in Iraq. And you can see the sort of same overreach to some extent in the Islamic State now. So if you look at it over the past year to 2 years, it's been more or less simultaneously to one degree or another been fighting the Assad government in Syria, other rebel groups in Syria, including the official al-Qaeda affiliate of the Nusra Front. It's been fighting Kurds in Syria. It's been fighting Kurds in Iraq. It's been fighting the Iraqi security forces. Over the past several months, it's been it's being bombed by the United States. Iran has certainly put a lot of support into the fight against it, and it's fighting Shiite militias backed by Iran. So it's fighting all of these groups simultaneously. And so in some sense, it's amazing and a testament to the group's capability that it's still doing as well as it has. But as the Battle of Tikrit shows, we may have hit the high watermark for the Islamic State already. I doubt it's going to be completely destroyed. Even al-Qaeda in Iraq still was sort of hanging around in Mosul and places like that, even after the tide turned against it. But we may have seen the high watermark just because the group has bitten off more than it can chew.
Austin Long, an assistant professor of international affairs at Columbia University, speaking with us about the rise of the Islamic State, or ISIS. Austin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.